In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I'd like to begin tonight by recounting a time that I did not feel the holiday spirit. It was in my local post office when I lived in the Bronx. My wife and my toddler and I were at the passport window. We were having an encounter with the apparatus of our federal government. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. We were applying for a passport for our toddler, whose name was Aviva. So both Becky and I had cleared our schedule that morning so we could both be present. That's how you do it for a small child. We had studied the State Department website and brought all the required documentation. We had filled out the passport application. We had brought the photos. We did everything we could to make sure the process would be simple and easy for us and for our squirming toddler and for the person at the passport window. But when we got to that window and we handed over our papers, the person looked at us and demanded our marriage certificate. Our what? Our marriage certificate. We had read the materials thoroughly and we had come fully prepared, and nowhere in the guidelines did they suggest that we would need a marriage certificate. But this federal agent insisted that our application could not be processed and called for the next person in line. Now, I don't know what was going on that morning inside me. Maybe I was anxious about something. But as a result of this encounter, I was really angry. I was seething. I had done my best and was trying to navigate my way through the bureaucracy to get the thing that I wanted. But instead, I was just getting pushed around, helpless to achieve what I had set out to do. So everyone gets pushed around by life. And some of us are more aware of it than others. Right? If you have enough money, enough power, then sometimes you can deflect a lot of that pushing and even maybe tell yourself you're immune to it. But eventually, life pushes back. It's called aging, or a stock market crash, or a failure in business, or a failure in an important relationship. It might be an aging parent, or the entrapment of addiction, whether in your own life or that of someone close to you. It could be illness, or fatigue, or unreasonable bosses, an unreliable friend, an aging car, or a weather event, or you name it. What is it that's going on in your life today? What is that thing that you wanted to escape by coming to church tonight? That thing you'd rather just leave behind and enjoy Christmas instead? That thing you just can't shake loose, and maybe you wouldn't be caught dead letting others know about it? Yeah, that thing. Here's the good news. Christmas isn't just about the birth of a little baby. We like that story, but it's really just a minor detail. Two of the four Gospels don't even mention Jesus' birth or Jesus' childhood. The big deal in all four Gospels is what we call incarnation, God becoming flesh. And why does that matter? Because God did something amazing. God came to change the world, and God chose to do so by being born to a family so poor that they were sleeping out with the animals. So look at the contrast in our gospel reading tonight between Caesar Augustus, who is pushing people around like pawns and making them go to their home cities to be registered, and the baby Jesus, born in a stable far from his hometown. Which one was more powerful? And which one was going to change the world completely? We know who won in the end, right? I'm a Christian, not an Augustinian. And even if I was an Augustinian, That today is just an order within the Anglican and Roman Catholic churches. They're followers of not Caesar Augustus, but Augustine of Hippo, a Christian saint from Africa. Jesus continues today to shape the world in radical, subversive ways. But Jesus doesn't do that by pushing people around, exercising authority like Augustus. Jesus did it instead by submitting himself to the process of childhood, the process of childbirth and infanthood, and life as a child subject to all the mistakes and challenges of his young parents. Jesus knew what it meant to be pushed around right from his very birth in a barn in Bethlehem. Jesus knew pain. Jesus knew failure. Jesus knew disappointment. Jesus knew illness and rejection and injustice and betrayal. Jesus even discovered death firsthand. And what Jesus did was to show us that none of this stuff gets the last word in God's world. And we all live, by the way, in God's world. None of it needs to be feared or worried over. That thing that you're carrying around that feels like such a big deal, it might be a big deal. But Jesus is an even bigger deal. And so Jesus helps us to bring perspective and wisdom and even healing to all the other things that happen in our lives. Jesus may not make the pain go away, right? Jesus knew pain. He stood there wailing at Lazarus' tomb. But Jesus will be present to join you in your grief and ultimately console you with the promise of a better day. No pain or loss is beyond Jesus' capacity to redeem it. So what does that mean? It means that that circumstance that's hanging over you, it's only temporary. God's love is stronger and more permanent than the worst you can face. That failure for which you have only yourself to blame, God loves you, despite. That thing that caught hold of you and just won't let you go, hanging on like a monkey on your back, incarnation, God is still on your team, ready to walk with you right through that abyss and on out the other side into God's loving arms. So wherever you've been and whatever you've done, you are not beyond the loving embrace of God. God isn't concerned about your grades or your SAT scores. God is not concerned about your performance review or your job title. God may be concerned about your failures or your hang-ups or your peccadillos, but only because you see those things as things that separate you from God. And God doesn't agree. God really doesn't agree. God doesn't agree so much that Jesus was born into the world to share with us all the challenges of being human. God was incarnate because God was on a mission to show us that A, God loves us, and B, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Even death is just another doorway through which we enter into a closer relationship with God. So if you're here tonight wondering what all the hubbub is about, it's not complicated. God loves you. Jesus was born so that he could show you how much God loves you. Jesus died to show that even death is no barrier to God's love for you, and that you are held securely in God's hands, exactly to the degree that you allow yourself to be held. No more, because God loves you, and no less, because God loves you. Here at St. Thomas, we are on a journey together, learning how to be held more rather than less. We're on a journey to learn how to love one another, to love the world around us, and even to love ourselves. We're on a journey to learn how to love Jesus because it is through Jesus that all the other loves find their perfection. So after I stood there in the post office stewing for a few minutes, wondering what to do next, we got called back up to the window. Turns out we didn't need our marriage certificate after all. Our application was swiftly accepted and we went on our way, but I spent the rest of that day marveling at the depth of upset that was stirred in my heart. That upset was indicative of a heart that was beholden to circumstances and systems over which I had no control. It was a clue that God was at work in my heart that day, showing me yet another chain from which God wanted to liberate me. It's a long process. That's why we celebrate Christmas year after year after year. Christmas Eve is about the gift of God, the love of God, that came into the world and dwelt among us. May you find God's love for you in a significant new way tonight and in the days and months to come. May you find God's love in community and in solitude, in joy and in sorrow, in life and in death. Because Jesus knows all those places. He's been there. And he is still there, right beside you. Amen.